Welcome, bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened. As always, I'm your host, Greg Bolden. Today, we have a very special show. It's a show of devastation, tragedy, as well as great courage. And when I was thinking about how could I best present this show for the audience, I knew that I had to call in somebody that was an expert in the medical field. And thank God, I know that person through the America Out Loud News Network, Dr. Peter McCullough. And so we're going to be telling the story of Kayla Pollock today, who was vaccine injured and paralyzed. And you're not going to want to miss it. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden and my special co-host, Dr. Peter McCullough.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
All right, bold Americans. Our guest today and co-host for the show is Dr. McCullough. Dr. McCullough is one of the largest names in the leader of medical freedom movement by far. He's been on the show several times, but not in this capacity. So I'm going to welcome him to the show as my co-host. Welcome, bold American, Dr. Peter McCullough.
Greg, thanks for having me. I have to say it, I'm emboldened.
Oh, I love it. You know, I play that in the intro of the show now because it was such a great soundbite when you came on and you said it, and people love it. I have people that actually go, I feel emboldened now, and I think you've inspired my generation of listeners, so thank you.
Let's see if Kayla says it.
We'll see. We're about to bring her up right now. So before we bring her onto the show, transverse myelitis. A doctor, she has a recording where they say that this is probably what she was infected with in the spinal cord. Can you just tell listeners, is this something that we see with vaccines in general?
Now, transverse myelitis has clearly been seen with vaccines. It was initially seen with the AstraZeneca vaccine and then seen across the entire range of COVID-19 vaccines. It's a very unusual problem in that it's as if the spinal cord was cut with a knife, but there was no knife. It's just a very unusual immune reaction to the spinal cord that can occur after vaccination. So I want to learn more from Kayla, but you know, I think I do have a lot of good news for her and those suffering like her.
Oh, wonderful. Well, let's not waste any time. Let's get Kayla up to the stage. Welcome, Kayla. Thank you for joining America Emboldened.
Well, thanks for having me. First of all, I just want to let you know I might be emboldened, but I don't want to say I'm American because that might not be legal.
Not with Trudeau's Canada. That's correct.
That's exactly correct. Yeah. Not with Trudeau's Canada. Yeah. So thanks for having me. It's an honor to meet you, Dr. McCullough, especially. Mm-hmm. I've been looking for you for a while. So, strange capacity to meet, but I'm here to, to tell my story.
Well, I'm honored to bring you here. Let's start at the beginning. You are not an anti-vaxxer. You went ahead and you received the Pfizer, I believe, BioNTech original vaccines, both the first shot and the second shot. And then, if I read your story correctly, it was about February 2022, you received a booster, but with the Moderna. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. The original two vaccines in Canada, I feel now looking back that we were sort of coerced into it. I worked with the school board, and I also had a father who's dying in long-term care. He did die. In order to go visit him, I had to have those vaccinations. So I first got the first two. And also I was looking at things like from the World Health Organization that I know of in my years of being type 1 diabetic. I'm type 1 diabetic. I know that taking advice from the World Health Organization was normally like that is the go-to for medicine as per what I thought anyway. I'm not so sure anymore, but to be honest, that's really, I wasn't like getting my news off Wikipedia. Right. I thought I was doing the right thing. And so it appeared to me in Canada that we were going to be forced to be getting our third. This is before the trucker convoy. And there was a lot of talks about that. We already had vaccine passports. And there was a lot of talks about getting the third. And they were especially talking about if you're immune compromised, that you basically, like, if you don't get your vaccines and your boosters, you're going to basically die of COVID is the way they made it sound. They didn't say that you're going to die of it. They just said, you know, your chances of dying with it are much, much greater. Looking back, I likely had very little to no risk of ever being all that sick. If I were to get it now, I have a lot of risk because I have very, very weak lung capacity on one side. But so that's why I got my third vaccine. It was February 22nd, 2022.
Can you tell the audience what happened in the time period over the next 24 or 48 hours? When did you first start having symptoms?
A few days later, I had an episode where I got out of bed and I immediately fell to the floor. I have mentioned before that I've had a cesarean section, so I do know what being paralyzed feels like. And I likened it to, it was like my legs were paralyzed. Looking back, that was a very good explanation for what was going on. They likely were. But within about 20 minutes, I was able to get up and I was able to just move. And so everything was fine. There was no pain. There was nothing out of the ordinary. I thought maybe I'd pinched a nerve or something. At first I didn't feel that anything was, I don't know. It just didn't rattle my bones, let's say.
And so they send you home basically once you get better, right? You went to the Canadian healthcare.
Well, at first I didn't do anything because okay. I really just, it was very quick. And I thought, you know, I just got out of bed. Perhaps I had, like I said, maybe I just pinched something or been sleeping in a really strange position and got up and, you know, fallen to the floor. It's like my legs just gave out. I think I've mentioned and I likened it to being paralyzed, but no one just goes paralyzed, do they? So, you know, I didn't think much of it until it happened a second time. And then that is when I said, this is neurological. This needs to be dealt with immediately. And I knew that in Canada, when you go to a hospital, you go to an emergency room here, they'll tell you, that's nice, honey. Come back when you have symptoms. You know, your legs are fine now. So come back when you have symptoms. They would do some blood work. And I knew I needed to see a neurologist. And your likelihood of seeing a neurologist in the ER is like zero. This is just, especially at the hospital that I am thinking of. You know, and this is the only hospital that you're going to get in my area. So, So I contacted my doctor and just said, you know, I need to see a neurologist like now. And like now meant like 18 months to 2 years wait list. If you're lucky, they might get you in sooner. That's what Canadian healthcare is like. That was the answer I was given.
Dr. McCullough, what are you thinking as you're hearing this?
Well, this is in many ways a neurologic emergency. Being paralyzed essentially without any trauma brings up what's called a differential diagnosis, a list of problems that can happen. And that can include tumors on the spinal cord, an ascending form of paralysis called Guillain-Barré syndrome, a problem called chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy, and of course, transverse myelitis. So, you know, the doctors need to move pretty quickly. And on this, the go-to test is to actually do a MRI of both the spinal cord and the brain.
So Kayla, what did they end up doing? I know you have a recording of one of the doctors.
Yeah, this isn't even the incident yet. Okay. So I woke up February 22nd, 2022, and I had had no trauma. I was getting up to go to work that day, and I went to get up, and my brain went on, and I went, oh, I got to get the phone right away. I wanted to get to work. If I didn't answer the phone, I would miss the opportunity to take a coworker shift, and I was told that the day before. It's kind of first come, first serve, and I knew they would call me first. So I wanted to get that phone, get up and get my coffee. My brain went to do it, but I went to roll, and I was paralyzed from the neck down. I tried to scream, but nothing came out. So I was in a crisis. My boyfriend was home, but he was downstairs. We were in a three-level townhouse, and I heard the vehicle start outside. And I went, okay, I think this is Guillain-Barré. That's the only thing I can think of that off the top of my head that could be going on. Usually I think, though, if I'm not mistaken, I would have thought that would have came on pretty quickly after the vaccine. So I was already thinking that this could be vaccine related, but I knew it was neurological. I knew it was an emergency, and I knew I was quadriplegic at that time. So I had trained service dogs, luckily, and I had just been training my dog as a service dog. And also, I was training him also as a guide dog just for fun because he was smart. I don't need a guide dog, but I was just doing it for fun. And I was able to sort of whisper to the dog to go get my partner. He was very confused about what was going on, but he was walking up and down the stairs, and enough to get my partner to go, what's wrong with the dog? So he was coming up to me to basically say, like, something's wrong with the dog. I don't know why he's not following his routine. When he came up, I was able to get his attention enough because I was able to basically, like, almost whisper. And I said, call 911. And I said, tell them I'm quadriplegic without trauma. And I knew he didn't know what it meant. And I knew he didn't know how to spell it so he wouldn't freak out. So I was sort of half freaking out in my mind and half thinking it was treatable, because I was thinking, okay, Guillain-Barré, maybe it's treatable. So the ambulance came. They took me to South Lake Regional Health Center in Newmarket, Ontario, and the emergency doctor came to me, and he said he did a couple neurological assessment tests. And he said that that in his assessment, he found that I had a reflex. And so that meant I was faking. So he told me that I was not paralyzed and that this was something that was psychosomatic and was in my head. And he ordered a psych consult. So he took the backboard off. He took the collar off, and I laid there paralyzed by myself, alone in the hospital during this COVID time. And all of a sudden, I got this excruciating pain in my neck. I think it was several hours later. It just was the worst pain I'd ever had in my life. It just came on suddenly. It was high in my neck. I did not have trauma to my neck. And then I started screaming. And I guess my lungs were able to scream loud enough that I remember screaming as loud as I could because it's like my body was trying to match the pain and I couldn't help it. Like, it just came out. And I remember the doctor then said I was in the hallway, of course, because they don't have rooms. So the doctor said that he wanted to shut me up. So they gave me high doses of morphine so that I'd stop screaming. The nurses would tell me to shut up. They tell me, you know, because I was the one waiting for a psych consult.
And this is why your lungs are already struggling to breathe to begin with what's going on. Giving you morphine. Wow.
A lot of morphine. And as soon as the morphine would wear off, I'd start screaming again. And they would just give me more morphine. And I was like, I need an MRI. And they said, no, like, They were waiting for the site consult. I mean, the site consult could take a day, 2 days. I mean, this is the reality of the hospital. And I was told that, and I knew that this was not in my head. Eventually, a doctor did come, and he whispered into my ear. He said, I have a friend that's at home. He's a radiologist, and he is willing to read your scans if I can take you up to the MRI, like, now. And I'm like, absolutely, I will go. He's like, I don't think you're crazy. I don't think this is in your head. So they did an MRI with and without contrast. They also did, like you said, a scan of my brain, and they compared it to a scan of my brain that had been done previously. And they found a massive lesion on my spine from C2 all the way right down to the bottom, incomplete, an incomplete lesion. So of course, then they had to rule out MS, they had to rule out cancer, they had to rule out infection. And of course, they tested me for COVID-19. Because had this been COVID-19, then of course, this transverse myelitis episode would have been caused by COVID-19.
And you tested negative, correct?
I tested negative. Yeah,
thank God. Thank God. I mean, with all you're going through, that's the last thing you want to add in. That, you know, muddy the waters. And, you know, Dr. McCullough and I, we've talked before that no one's really researching well the mRNA. There's plenty of people that just immediately say it's COVID-19, and that's the first conversation. When you're hearing this, Dr. McCullough, you've certainly been testifying and going in front of many. Have you heard a story like this before?
Yeah, I have. And, you know, one of the things I do, Greg, is I'm meticulous in citing the literature so people can actually locate this. So for this show, I want to cite a paper published by Bahram Rabbani, and this was published in the journal Neurology, which is a very good journal. And the title of the paper is A Case of Transverse Myelitis After Moderna SARS-CoV-2 Vaccination. And this occurred in a man who was 60 years old. And this was, he had progressed. He actually was admitted to the hospital. And Kayla, believe it or not, they originally thought it was a stroke originally, but he had this this bilateral numbness. He quickly went flaccid, and it was at the T9 dermatomal level. And then he went into, he underwent an MRI. And what they describe, Kayla, is very important. They describe a longitudinally extensive transverse myelitis. And that's exactly what you've described.
Yeah.
So, you know, the important point is the vaccines were never tested for safety. So they only had, in the clinical trials, they had 1 month where the primary series was given and then 2 months of observation. We never knew what would happen after a booster. No one knew. And sure enough, you developed this extensive case of transverse myelitis. So I know the listeners are very engaged now. But tell us what happened next.
Well, I did remember that the AstraZeneca trials had been stopped for a case of transverse myelitis. So at this point in time, my boyfriend had arrived at the emergency room. They finally let him in. There was a lot of security issues. I wasn't able to have someone come in, but because now they found out that I was actually paralyzed, I wasn't just a psych patient, they basically had to let him in because they didn't have the staff to turn me or to do anything. So they figured, well, he could do all the dirty work for them, which is essentially why they let him in, right? He's an essential caregiver now at this point, right? So, and besides, they needed someone to feed me if I ever got to that point. I mean, of course, I'm on an IV at this point, but I mean, remember, I'm paralyzed from the neck down. So it's no longer in my head. The psych consult was canceled. Nobody ever apologized for that. They never will. That's just how you're treated. I told him that we need to start recording everything, that I knew that legally that I needed to record it. So I asked him to push my finger on the record button so that I was the party recording. I was the party having the conversations. So I'm legally able to record these conversations. So I did that. And twice I was told by two different people on audio that this was caused by the Moderna shot.
Kayla, I'd like to...
in my medical records.
Kayla, if you don't mind, I'd like to play that audio for people just because I want them to hear it themselves as well.
That audio actually just says possibly caused by that particular... But you can play it, of course.
All right. Just so I want people just to understand that this recording is out there. Doctors are starting to talk that they've seen this before. And I think this is in context here. Here it is. Let me make sure I have audio coming through.
It's a tumor that has to be removed.
Less likely, right? Less likely to work.
Okay. What's a cancer look like?
Well, you make the CT chest abdomen pelvis just to make sure there's no other areas of malignancy.
Okay.
So that's what that is. But most likely it's going to be probably, if I'm using my gut impression here, from the vaccine.
So other people have had it?
Many people have had it.
Many?
And then your medical reports mention transverse myelitis, two of the reports, and they're seen here in this. This is from the Canadian Independent. I want to give them credit. And so we have multiple accounts there from doctors. And I just think that's important. I tell you that, Kayla, because Dr. McCullough knows this as well. I often have content taken down by YouTube because they don't see the research, or they're saying that's a false accusation. And I wanted to make sure that we backed up. The doctors did document this in your chart. So thank you for letting me do that.
Yeah, I made sure that I came forward with all my medical records and that I came forward with those audio recordings because I thought it was important when I told my story that I back it up because I knew there was going to be people that say, it's not caused by the vaccine, has nothing to do with that. People are blaming their lives on it. A lot of people say you chose to take the vaccine. A lot of people say, you know, you're suing Moderna and, you know, you can't do that because they have immunity. I'm in Canada. They do not have legislative immunity. They say that you're just looking for the money. And I tell them, how much money would you take to sit in my chair? Because there's no amount of money you could pay me to sit in my chair. I've lost all control of my bowels, of my bladder. I'm attached to a catheter at all times. I have no use of my legs. I can feel everything. So it's very painful, burning, neuropathy. I have no feeling in my hands. There's a lot of injuries occurred by that on top of being type 1 diabetic that creates, a hellfire storm. When you think of, you know, bed sores and, diabetics with open wounds, I get pressure sores on my feet from sitting on my wheelchair. It is absolute pain and hell, and it is horrible. And I came forward with my story because, you know, a year ago, I just sort of looked up one day and thought, why did this happen to me? And I immediately thought, you know why this happened to you, because you know that you have a voice and that you are not afraid to talk in front of large audiences of people. I used to train exotic animals for a living, lions, monkeys, parrots. I was on stage with Dog Whisperer Cesar Millan in front of 19,000 people at the Air Canada Centre talking about service dog etiquette. So when he handed me the microphone, I was on stage willing to do that. And, you know, I've always sort of been a person with vision, and I knew that if I told my story, it would go worldwide. And so I had my 9-year-old son say to me one day, Mom, I think that you need to tell people about what happened to you, because he said, what if there's somebody that's just like you and, you know, they're afraid to talk to people and maybe they don't even want to live with themselves anymore. And there's maybe other quadriplegics that you could help. And you could help people if you talked about your story. And you know what? I knew a year ago that I should come forward. And when a 9-year-old tells you to do it, and he's your son.
Right.
And he says it so innocently, you know, I set my family down and I said, this will go around the world. This could mean that mommy's going to be traveling. This could mean a lot of things. This is very political and this will change our lives and it might not all be good. This does not mean that it's going to be a walk in the park. There are going to be people that say very bad things about this, and this is going to change our lives. And like I said, it's not going to all be good. And it hasn't. And it hasn't been easy.
Dr. McCullough, are you aware of what the Canadian government offered to Kayla? Have you heard her story before?
No.
All right. So when Kayla has been suffering through this as a quadriplegic, they were not giving her the $40,000 worth of health care that she requires. And so instead, they offered her what they call MAID, which is their form of euthanasia. And so they've offered Kayla medical assistance in dying.
What?
And this is the most shocking part of the entire story. Kayla, can you tell us a little bit
about
that?
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, so they came to me and said, you know, they told me that, you know, that basically it was a slow and painful death, and that there was all sorts of comorbidities that go along with this condition. That it wasn't just the spasms. I mean, people don't realize like a lot of what a quadriplegic even is or goes through. It's a lot more than just being paralyzed or not having bowel control or bladder control. There's also like, I have spasms. Like that's why my camera was just shaking, because my legs will start shaking uncontrollably, and I'll have clonus, which is another form of spasms. If I'm not turned, every couple hours, I'll get bed sores, let alone the enormous amount of pain that goes with, let's say, if you don't turn in bed and you're laying on a limb, your automatic nervous system turns you for you when you're sleeping. So that's why people turn in their sleep. I can't do that. So I'll wake up with pain and it'll be excruciating pain, like as if you're being pinned under a truck or something. And it's just absolutely excruciating. It literally feels like, you know, you're in a car wreck a few times a night. And they just told me that that would be my life. And that, you know, there, if I wanted to pursue Canada's, you know, medical assistance in dying, that there was a program. So they set me up with the program. I went as far as to emailing the program and to learning more and to setting up to see whether I'd be a candidate, but they told me that it was within 90 days that I'd have to be ready to basically possibly take this euthanasia, and I was not ready to say goodbye to my 9-year-old son within 90 days. I had no idea what I was about to say to him. So as much as I really sort of, well, I did, I very much contemplated it. It was a way out of this hell. But at the same time, I also know that I was just thinking, I'll put it off because it gives me, you know, another year with my son. I'll put it off because it gives me another year with my son. And then that's when I decided that, you know, let's get lawyers involved. So I don't know if you're aware of the Dan Hartman case where his son died. I know, Dr. McCullough, that, you know, you're likely going to be called as an expert witness for that one. I went through the same lawyer that Dan Hartman's gone through. His 17-year-old son died from the Pfizer vaccine, and he's in the process of getting slides from the USA. The Canadian government denied him the vaccine injury compensation because he couldn't prove that the vaccine was a likely cause. You know, it's only a maximum $250,000, which people think is a lot of money, but, we don't have personal support workers or enough nurses. And, because of my needs, like needing to be turned in the middle of the night and, things like, needing someone to manually evacuate stool from my bowel because I no longer have that function. I need a nurse or someone to do that. And they still in 2 years have not set that up. So if I did not have one person in my life that was willing to do that, I'd be in long-term care. So rather than long-term care, MAID was an option because, I mean, they don't have enough long-term care beds. And I was willing to take MAID over going to long-term care because I knew that the care I would receive there was going to be borderline abusive. And I also knew that it would take me anywhere in Ontario under the Doug Ford's act in Canada, where he made it so that you have to take the first available bed. And if that's, you know, 16 hours away from your son, they don't care. And that's not the type of life that I wanted to live. And that's why I considered it a MAID. I go to neuro rehab, but that's $20,000 a year. And it's not paid for by the government. They offered me 6 physiotherapy sessions. That is not something a quadriplegic is going to live off of. That I need to have my limbs stretched daily is very important, or it's absolute hell. It's absolutely important and vital for bone health and vital for all sorts of things. But affording all these treatments, $20,000 a year. I mean, people, think that $250,000 isn't going to get me very far. And like an overnight nurse, that's like $4,000 a month. I mean, you just add these things up and, this is a terrible situation.
It's infuriating to me, Dr. McCullough, that so many people were coerced, told they were doing the right thing. Kayla was doing the right thing. Even myself, I did the right thing, right? The people went, tried to make a difference, help save grandma, whatever it may be, that story. And then when someone is legitimately vaccine injured, that's the response of the Canadian government? Euthanasia? Go ahead, Dr. McCullough. What questions do you have for Kayla?
Kayla, what treatments were attempted to reverse the transverse myelitis?
I went to Canada's top and one of their only spinal rehabilitation, which is Lyndhurst. And they did physiotherapy, which did give me some use of my arms back. But unfortunately that was it. It's been 2 years. And like I said, I have pretty intensive therapy with, like the neuro rehab therapy and,
But did you get no medications at all? No attempt at medicines?
Oh yeah, of course. They wanted to, give me a bunch of pain meds and, of course, gabapentin, Lyrica, whatever, they want to give you obviously a bunch of laxatives. They give you pretty much exactly they actually have the spinal cord handbook. And right in the spinal cord handbook is a list of medications such as like baclofen, all these stool softeners, like Senecod and things like that. And, the things like hydromorphone and narcotics. And then there's a list of things that or antidepressants are there, things that might worsen your condition. And all of those medications are then listed right beside each other. And I'm like, they could have at least put them in a different order.
But everything you mentioned is to kind of manage the symptoms and the consequences. Anything to fundamentally reverse the problem in the spinal cord?
No.
Because, here is...
Guess I did have high-dose steroids at first. Yeah, for 5 days. But they did not do anything else. They did not choose to do... what is it called? You can fill me in.
Let me just kind of lay this out. This type of transverse myelitis and even the other neurologic symptoms I mentioned, we believe they're due to the spike protein, that the vaccine inserts the genetic code into the body to produce the spike protein. And it actually does the damage to the spinal cord and causes a tremendous amount of inflammation. And so because of that, it raises the hope that this is potentially reversible as long as the spike protein is there causing the problem. And see, it's different. It's way different than a cancer that's caused this, or transecting the spinal cord, or you know, a disc or something like this. So so what others have done worldwide is certainly like a good course of steroids, a process called plasma exchange, intravenous immunoglobulin. And then what our group has innovated on is actually handling the spike protein itself through a process called base spike protein detoxification. We've tried every drug under the sun. We've actually arrived at three natural substances. It takes a long time with these neurologic syndromes, but we combine nattokinase, which is a natural enzyme, bromelain, another family of enzymes, and curcumin, which is a derivative of turmeric. And in a combination, it's called McCullough Protocol Based Spike Protein Detoxification. And you know, I've treated now thousands of patients, and a handful have transverse myelitis, so I can't give a direct report there. I saw a patient today who had a pretty significant neurologic condition where she could not get out of bed, tremulous. That's a different syndrome. And it's been a while. I mean, it's been 6 or 9 months, but she's able to walk in. I tested her today. She's a lot steadier. And I have an ongoing kind of what's called N of one trial with someone named Rod Shears, who's a former CEO and a marathoner in the UK. He probably has transverse myelitis, or he has a form of Guillain-Barré, but believe it or not, he's still waiting to see the neurologist. I mean, this is terrible in the UK. So Rod is at about 3 months of treatment. I just reached out to him for a conference because I want to see what he can do. But what I'm telling you is, because this is a novel mechanism, there's an opportunity for novel interventions. I'll tell you another one that I commonly recommend. It falls into the category, Kayla, of why not try, and that is hyperbaric oxygen treatment. Having somebody go in the hyperbaric oxygen chamber, you know, it's used for concussions, other forms of neurologic injury. It is cumbersome. It is expensive in the United States. The Israelis have done a prospective randomized trial in patients after the vaccine, not with your condition, but in general, neurologic findings that improved, several prospective cohort studies. And in aggregate, again, it falls into the category of why not try?
Yeah, all of the things that you've listed above, I was aware of your protocol. I had taken the supplements regularly for quite a while. But all the other things that you've mentioned, they'd have to be administered, except for the hyperbaric oxygen chamber, in hospital. And then other than that, it would be the expense and the availability of getting there. So one of the big dilemmas that I have is, unfortunately, I'm in a power wheelchair, and I do not have a wheelchair accessible vehicle. So one of the problems is getting to any of these places. I would rely on government funding, which is not easy to get to, and also who's going to pay for all this stuff, right? So
let's get back to the supplements. Now, in your type of condition, it would be a minimum of 1 to 2 years. I mean, constant administration. And then typically at 3 months or 6 months, if we don't see anything, we double doses, triple, even quadruple doses. So, you know, you probably haven't had a full ladder of this at this point in time.
Yeah, it all comes down to expense, unfortunately. I'm someone now with no job, living on living on Ontario disability. The payments that they give are so minimal with the housing. The payments haven't gone up since the economy has shifted. So these payments are not even enough to get by with your basic needs if you're not quadriplegic. And I mean, things that people don't think of are, I'm also type 1 diabetic. They stopped paying for my insulin. You know, that was just recently, that, you know, there are things like, I have an insulin pump in a CGM, a continuous glucose monitor. There are programs that pay for percentages of it, but the rest of all these things come out of my pocket. Being quadriplegic, also, you know, you're taking vitamin D supplements and stuff, things that the pharmacies don't cover in Canada. All these supplements end up costing a lot more than you get on Ontario Disability.
Well, let me suggest for the detoxification, you know, it may be your only hope of getting rid of the spike protein from the body and resolving it. So what I'll do is I'll have the wellness company, which I'm the chief scientific officer, get you set up with a supply line of the three critical elements, the natokinase and spike support, the bromelain and curcumin. They have them there, and they're doing it for this other patient. We're giving it a trial in for free. We just need to know, you know, where you live, and we'll get that out to you. But at least do the supplements in a way that we can give that a formal trial.
Drew did try to send it to me, and unfortunately, the wellness company does not ship to Canada.
Oh, that's right. Oh, boy. You know, I was able to get it shipped to the UK. Now, they may not ship it to you in a customer-provider relationship, but we may be able to do it in kind of gift mode. So let me look into that to see if we can do that. But what I want to do is I want you to understand the spike protein is the problem from the vaccine. We routinely measure the extended antibodies to it, and I bet your antibodies are through the roof on it because you have a lot of spike. But getting spike out of the body is the best hope of resolving the syndrome. So it's thought that maybe hyperbaric helps the body get rid of it. People have said, you know, believe it or not, exercise and therapy and sweating helps. But I want you to keep your focus on getting rid of spike out of the body and recovery. I know so much of it, you're kind of in this bodily and financial survival mode. But we don't know the natural history of neurologic conditions due to the spike protein. But what I'm observing over the last 4 years is that it's far more reversible when it's spike induced as opposed to other causes.
That's a good thing. I mean, I know transverse myelitis in general, they always tell you, and my son always says, Mom, sorry, that's my insulin pump beeping. I can't turn that off. I can turn my cell phones off. I can turn everything else off. But, you know, when it tells you it's time to change your site, they want you to do it now. Don't worry, everything's fine. I've been very aware, like I said, of the protocols. I do follow the literature. I kind of stopped following the World Health Organization's, advice. And, I saw the pandemic coming from miles and miles away. I even said there'd be a toilet paper shortage. Like, and my boyfriend absolutely, I mean, we almost broke up over it. He thought I was nuts. I'm like, people are going to be hoarding food. It's not the virus that'll kill us. It's the dumb people. And he just thought I was crazy. I'm like, people are going to start fighting over groceries. And he thought I was absolutely nuts when I said all those things. I'm like, this is what happens during pandemics. This is just, people go crazy. And I was more worried about the people than the virus, to be honest, at first, until the World Health Organization started coming through saying, you know, it's people like you. And, you know, Trudeau was, and of course, at that time, you know, I'm 35 years old, and I'm, you know, of course, watching this on the news, not realizing that the news is also, you know, the one that's, you know, advertising all these vaccine ads. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, who's paying for the vaccine ads? And I'm going, oh my gosh, the news is being paid to like not play stories like mine, because if they play stories like mine, they're not going to get funding from the vaccine companies.
Well, and they lose, when you look into the Trusted News Initiative, back in 2020 and what happened with the BBC, you'll learn that it was all about controlling the narrative to not lose confidence in what was coming out. They wanted people feeling safe, secure. That was the whole safe and effective line. And hearing stories like yourself, it's, you know, this is what I like to tell people. I am abhorrently horrified when people still use the word safe and effective, because we know that it is not safe and effective the way that it was sold to us, that there are stories like yours and many others with blood clotting. And what McCullough was just talking about with the base spike detoxification, it's my understanding that the bromelain and the curcumin are working as anti-inflammatories along with the natokinase, which is going to start breaking down the clotting and some of the inflammation. But I'd like to know, Dr. McCullough, I know that Kayla said she tried it, and you said it's going to take probably 1 to 2 years. Can you talk to the audience and Kayla about why it takes so long for these to work in the detoxification program? Why does it take, you know, a long time and taking this for a while?
Because the vaccine, at least some of the vaccine molecules are still in her body, still producing the spike protein. Recently, Kevin McKernan, molecular biologist, has shown that human RNA ACEs can break down Pfizer Moderna. So we think sooner or later, Pfizer Moderna will get out of the body. The spike protein is very long lasting. And, you know, this nutraceutical approach is as good as we have. Our human enzymes can't break it down. But when I wrote the papers, I used the term base spike protein detoxification because it's a base and we add other things to it. So, for instance, in a case like hers, I may use steroids, but like for 3 months, not 5 days, 3 months. We may use a what's called plasma exchange or IVIG. I may use a drug called rituximab to turn off the B cells. We think antibodies are playing a role, an inflammatory called colchicine. And just like in McCullough protocol, acute treatment protocol, we didn't rely on a single drug. We used drugs in combination. We found in these vaccine injury syndromes that we need to do multiple things all together. And some of the non-medicinal approaches can help. The oropharyngeal microbiome, for instance, is another target. So I have patients routinely use xylitol-based products in the nose and mouth, try to orient the microbiome to become much more favorable. And because you've already had some recovery, right? You are flaccid from here, but you can actually do something now. You know, there is a hope that there still is more recovery to happen here. So again, I for the neurologic syndromes, because they're so new, we don't know what to expect. And some doctors like myself are seeing recovery in some of these syndromes. We'd rather err on the side of being hopeful and trying different things as opposed to nihilism. Nihilism means, oh, it won't work, or we're not gonna try, and that's it.
So you're not gonna offer me medical assistance in dying? That's not your first line of treatment?
No, I mean, I just can't. I just try to help so many patients, just like you did with the acute illness. And I don't want to set false expectations, but at the same time, most people feel better when they're constructively doing something that gives a genuine hope. And maybe people listening to this, if there's someone who has hyperbaric facilities in your area, to give that a try. I referred 2 patients today. You have a GiveSendGo up there that crowdfunding can certainly help. I'll work on wellness company and some type of gifting program for McCullough protocol based spike detoxification. And you know, patients oftentimes control their own destiny and they really push a lot of buttons. But maybe you seem very intelligent, you seem very determined. Maybe you are positioned here not only for your own recovery, but to help so many others.
That's why I came forward. I didn't just want to help vaccine injured people. I also wanted to just help people suffering with quadriplegia and help people that are in my position. I mean, it's not just simple things like how sick you feel every day. It's things like trying to go to Tim Hortons and you can't fit under a table that says wheelchair accessible, or the curb cuts. I mean, my 9-year-old son is seeing these things. And I mean, it's made him a stronger person. But I think that coming forward, I mean, you know, I think the best gratification was to have him say, "Mom, I'm really proud of you." And I mean, I don't think he'll say that when he's 19. So, you know, I mean, you never know, I guess. But, you know, I really, you know, that's to me, you know, I did it for him, and I did it to keep fighting, and I did it because I want to, I want to help other people. And like he said, maybe there are people like me that are been told they're crazy. A lot of us are told that we're crazy. I mean, this story, I've heard other people with vaccine injuries that go to the hospital and are told that they're crazy. I mean, I was literally waiting for a psychiatrist, having this lesion growing up my spine. I mean, you know, to the point where it's in the C2 level. I mean, that's significantly high and was super, super close to my breathing. Like I could have been on a ventilator.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, God only knows, millimeters away from a ventilator. And, you know, God only knows the decisions I would have made then. You know, it's scary.
So Kayla, hearing Dr. McCullough say that he believes that part of this is still possibly reversible, how do you feel about hearing that? Is that a good message of hope? Where are you mentally? Because I know this has been a long 2 years that you've been through. So, you know, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking I do believe there's hope. It's just, I'm in Canada, and, you know, we're supposed to have the best medical system. I mean, we're supposed to have this absolutely fabulous medical system. That's why people immigrate to Canada. I mean, part of it is, you know, all this land and all these great, you know, infrastructures and this wonderful medical system. And our medical system is failing miserably. You know, the answer to not having enough long-term care beds is medical assisted dying. That is the big push, and it is being pushed. I mean, you shouldn't be offered it. You should have to ask for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a real problem. And I think it's to clear beds. It's to clear space. What are they going to do when all the baby boomers come and age, and they don't have enough long-term care facilities and enough staff to staff them? So I'm feeling kind of pessimistic in a way because of where I'm located.
Yeah, we had another listener that chimed in while we were talking that said that they're from Canada, and Canada is no longer what it used to be. And I've heard the story from guests when I've been telling vaccine injured stories now for the past several years. And everybody always tells me that Canada has become the socialized nightmare. Trudeau has been a nightmare. I want to just tell you, thank you for your courage and finding your voice to speak up, because I do think it's important that your story is heard across the world. Because there are many people that are not going to have an opportunity to give voice to this. So I'm honored just to be able to share your story today, bring Dr. McCullough on to speak with you in order to raise awareness to other people that might say, you know, this doctor has told me it's all up in my head. It's not. I've talked to enough people at this point in time to know that it's not up in people's heads, that there are people that have been affected. Dr. McCullough, just a few days ago, I was watching one of the things that he was talking about, and I had theorized about this. When these mRNA jabs were being made in Baltimore by the military or whoever was doing this, there was not very good quality control in the sense of the amount of genetic material that was going in being even on every single shot that was being sent out. And Dr. McCullough, I heard you talk about that. There's this theory that's out there right now that might be why some people are being affected, because they're getting a different viral load of mRNA than others, which would explain why Kayla went through this process twice with no injury whatsoever. And on the third, all of a sudden it was a catastrophic failure. Maybe you can share that with Kayla for those that haven't heard that yet.
Right. Kayla, if you haven't already done it, you should go to howbadismybatch.com. I think Pfizer's got about 4,000 batches. I don't know about Moderna. I recently did this for a man in Texas who died of this brutal pulmonary hemorrhage syndrome after the vaccine. I published it with Nick Holscher, University of Michigan. And, you know, he was in the top, 2.5 5% of dangerous batches. That could explain why batch one and batch two, and then you get batch three. But what you want to do is, I think, you do as much research to put your case, your personal case together as best as possible. Continue to push. You know, if you got 5 days of steroids, the question of, you know, should you get much prolonged high doses. Again, I mentioned rituximab, IVIG, plasma exchange. I was just checking the Mayo Clinic website on what the basics are done for transverse myelitis, and it doesn't even sound like the basics were done.
Wow. No, they weren't, but that's I asked for these things. I mean, I asked for these things, and they don't offer them here. They wouldn't offer them to me. They did not just offer them, they wouldn't give them to me.
This is tragic.
Wow. Well, Kayla, I want to address my audience right now. If you're listening on the America Out Loud News Network, if you're following along on X, on YouTube, Rumble, wherever you may be listening to this, if you have access, Kayla, what around what town are you? I don't give your exact location, but what area of Canada are you in?
I'm in the GTA, so the Greater Toronto Area.
Okay. If you're in the Greater Toronto Area, or you know somebody in that area that has access to hyperbaric oxygen therapy, you can contact me or Kayla. Kayla is at KC Pollock on X directly. I'm at Real Greg Bolden. You guys already know where to find me, AmericanBolden.com. I would be happy to put anybody in touch with Kayla directly in order to try to get that help, because as Dr. McCullough said, why not try, right? It's leave no stone unturned at this point in time. It's great hearing that you got a little bit of use of your arms from where you were. And I think that that's hopeful, right? Yeah.
Show us what you can do, Kayla.
I can lift my arms up and, I've got some bicep control.
Okay.
I don't have triceps or anything like that.
Okay.
But I've lost function since, like, it's gone downhill. I had gotten to a point where it was a bit better, but it's progressively gotten worse. But that's to be expected with not being able to afford $20,000, neuro rehab. The neuro rehab helped quite a bit, and the physical help range of motion and any exercise and any weightlifting or things that are possible, or weight bearing or standing positions, those were all helping. That does not mean I can stand. I'm just
I have one last thing. I'm gonna have to go, but I have to tell you, I just, because I'm learning with all these cases, I had a man come to me who's progressively becoming neurologically devastated, both in terms of his ability to speak and walk. Now, it's a different syndrome. His muscles are atrophying. He's a very high functioning man, and we think it's due to the vaccines. And just to be complete, I did a comprehensive neurological muscular genetic screening panel. And the technology I use is called Invitae. It's just a swab we took from his mouth. It took several weeks to come back. And I was shocked to learn that he actually had a significant mutation in kind of the energy factory of the cells called the mitochondria. So he actually did have a little bit of a genetic setup for what has unfolded, but now it's given us an approach in terms of what we can do to improve function there. It's just one last idea in this theme of leaving no stone unturned, okay? So listen, guys, I'm gonna have to sign off. It's been such an honor to meet you. I'm gonna work on my side from the wellness company. Greg, thanks for bringing us together. And Kayla, keep your chin up, stay positive, and let's work for resolving this.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Yeah, Kayla, thank you so much for joining America Emboldened and the network here, sharing your story with everybody. I did find somebody here says that I don't know how far away that might be from you, but Mackenzie Health in Richmond Hill, Ontario has a hyperbaric chamber.
It's very expensive.
Okay, well, let's see what we can do about that, right? Maybe we can get in touch with somebody at Mackenzie Health I actually have a doctor who is a regular on my show from Canada. I'm not going to say his name right now. I don't want to put him on the spot, but I'm going to reach out to him as well and see what connections he has, what we can do in order to be able to help out. I also know you have a website here that I want to put up for people before we end today. Of course, there was the Give, Send, Go that people can go over if you'd like to donate to Kayla's cause, help get a vehicle, because right now her chair, she does not have access to be able to do so, as well as there is the opkayla.com webpage as well. So if my listeners could go over there, if you have the means to help out, this is an opportunity to do some good and to pay your blessings for the Kayla. Kayla, I continue to wish you continue the recovery. Like I said, your arms, that brought a smile to my face to at least see that, you know, from a traditional quadriplegic sense, you're seeing some improvement. So I hope that what Dr. McCullough can offer, the hyperbaric therapy, that this kind of idea that really kind of push these boundaries, that we can be successful in helping you and all the others. So if there's anything that I can do in the future from my microphone, feel free to reach out. I would love to be able to continue to help tell your story and give any updates, but I am so thankful that MAID was not an option for you when you thought about it, because I really do believe in hope. I believe that in the end, that promise of hope really is healing for all of us. And I hope that you experience that.
Yeah, I've been honored to have Veterans for Freedom come forward, and they've helped me significantly. They were the ones that set all this up for me so that, you know, I didn't have to do any of the fundraising myself or set up any of the websites or any of the lawyers or accountants to make sure the money's all accounted for, every penny of it. All the receipts are posted, so nobody has to worry about where their money's going. Every single dollar is accounted for thanks to them. So I really appreciate that. And of course, you know, for the Canadian Independent for originally airing the brief clip that they were able to air that told my story originally too.
Excellent. Well, Kayla, it's been a pleasure. Keep in touch with me, please. All right.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you here. All right, bold Americans. I hope that we've honored your time well here today, this conversation that Kayla and I and Dr. Peter McCullough, if you have not had an opportunity, make sure you go over to the McCullough Report. That is on the America Out Loud news website, as well as the podcast network and the 24/7 radio network as well. Dr. McCullough is putting out phenomenal content about our health, and he has been at the front of the research. He's published over 1,000 publications. He has 685 citations. He is one of the most peer-reviewed doctors in medicine. And really thankful for him joining the show today to be with all of us to offer a little bit of perspective and some compassion to Kayla and what she's going through. If you'd like to send me any comments about today's show, you can find me over at Real Greg Bolden on the X platform, as well as you can always join into the conversation. Feel free to subscribe to the show on patreon.com/America Emboldened. It's a great community there too of like-minded individuals. You don't have to be American to obviously be bold and have critical thinking. And so if you're tuning in from other places in the world, help support the show so we can bring great content like we're bringing with Dr. McCullough and Kayla today to help bring them some awareness to what they've been going through. That's all for today. I'll be back on Friday talking to the author of the book Disproven, Ken Block. You're not going to want to miss what he uncovered after the Trump campaign hired him to find election interference. That interview will actually be live 4 p.m. Thursday and airing on Friday on the America Out Loud Network. So we'll see you all then. You've been watching and listening to America Emboldened here with Greg Bolden, my co-host, Dr. Peter McCullough, and our special guest, Kayla Pollack. Be bold, America.